Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll have a look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can, at this place and at this time, concentrate upon what you've revealed to us here in Scripture. Thank you for it. Thank you for your Spirit, which ministers in our hearts, ministers through the word and teaches us, illuminates our minds to the truth. Father, we know that we've been gifted as Christians. We've been given gifts that we ought to be using in service for you. Pray, Father, that we wouldn't be found neglecting them. Pray that we would meditate upon you, the wonderful giver of our gift, that we would use it for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage we're going to look at tonight is found from verse 11. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. I want to ask this morning, it's not morning anymore, is it? I want to ask tonight a question. If I was to ask you the question, what do you do for a living, what would your response be? Some people are, and I sometimes find myself caught between two. It depends on how I want to answer the question. When people ask me, what do you do for a living? I've got two answers. I can say I work for a beekeeper, or I work for the church. And depending on whether I'm interested in answering long questions about the Lord, or whether I'm walking in the flesh, that determines my answer. Because if I don't want to answer questions about church, or being a pastor, or any of those things, I can say, well, I work for a beekeeper, and I get off the hook. Now I'll feel really guilty when I do that next time. I'll be convicted. I already am. What do you answer when someone asks, what do you do for a living? What's your trade or what's your business? Well, William Carey, people call him the father of modern missions, missionary to India. Before he went to India, he worked in England and his business was cobbling shoes. He was a shoe cobbler. And we don't do that anymore because shoes are cheap. We just buy new ones. But back in the day, they would resole shoes and that was his job. Now, every now and then, he had a map in his shop of India. He had it there all the time. It wasn't every now and then. But every now and then, he'd stop and he'd study it. And he'd pray for the people and pray for the nation. And he'd think about the mission field over there. Now, William Carey, he had a preaching ministry. And from time to time, his shoe business, his cobbling business, would suffer because he was out preaching. And a friend admonished him and said, Carey, you're neglecting your business. And his response, and I quote, my business is to extend the kingdom of God. I only cobble shoes to pay expenses. That's a good attitude. That ought to be our attitude. No matter what our job is, we all should have Carey's mentality. I work to pay the bills, but my business is extending the kingdom of God. And if you're a saint, if you're a believer, God has equipped you for that task. He's given you a gift and called you to a particular ministry. You know, your heavenly business may not be preaching and teaching the word, it might not be standing up here like I am, but you've been gifted and called to the ministry in one way, shape or form. 1 Corinthians 12:7 tells us, I'll read this verse, but we'll look back at it a little bit later. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, or really the gifts of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit with all. We've all been gifted to profit all. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, as Christians, it ought to be of concern to you and to me that we may know how we ought to serve God, how we should use our gift. That's important, don't you think? Now, I remember, and I suspect most people remember, the first day on the job. Anyone remember their first day at a particular job? I remember the first day I worked for Steve. He won't, thankfully. It was in Tarnagulla. and I dropped a hat box. In fact, I picked it up, and for some reason the top of the box stayed in my hands and the bottom fell out, and all this lady's stuff rolled down. I don't know whether it was a lady or not, but I know her, this stuff, and it looked like lady stuff, rolled down the ramp. And I felt awful because I was trying so hard not to make a mistake. Now, trying to soak it all in, absorb it all. I remember the first day I worked for Lint too, the man I work for now. You try so hard to be faithful. You try and learn it all, absorb it all, to know exactly everything about what you're supposed to be doing, and you try and do the very best job. But over time, we tend to get lazy and forget. Now, as Christians, I hope that's not true of us when it comes to our spiritual gifts and the work God's called us to. I know that at one stage in our lives, or many stages, we go, what am I gifted to do? What does God want me to do? And then we spend time in prayer seeking His face and trying to work out what it is He wants me to do and how He wants me to do it. But then over time, we kind of stop paying attention and we might not listen as much. And we stop working so hard to work faithfully. Are we being faithful in our work for Christ? That's a pretty good question. Are we being faithful? God's given us a job to do. Are we being faithful at it? We're all gifted, we're all called, we're all to serve, yet the truth is a lot of Christians burn out. They get exhausted, they get overworked perhaps, they got nothing left in the tank. Others still, they bomb out of the ministry. Pastors are guilty of doing this, it seems. It seems like people in leadership often give up the battle with sin, and then they end up in moral failure, and they depart the ministry in almost an extravagant or an explosion. Too many pastors go that way. Some others simply just fade out. You know, they were there last year. They were serving the Lord there and doing this and this and this. And now this year, they're not there. They're not doing it anymore. Some burn out. Some bomb out in glorious fashion. I'm not so glorious. Self-glorious. And others just kind of slip away. Perhaps Timothy was in danger of this. He was a timid man. A pastor who seeks to avoid confrontation is in danger of fading away. Because to stand for the truth and to confront error involves confronting people who believe in that error. Timothy had that job of rebuking those with that false doctrine. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, we read these words. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Perhaps Timothy was in danger of neglecting the gift that he'd been given by God. Now, whether his gift was to preach or teach, or whether it was indeed the work of an evangelist, which we know that he was exhorted to do the work of an evangelist. We don't really know exactly what his gift or gifts were, but we know that it was to do with the word and leading the church. Was he neglecting his gift? Certainly that was the danger. Many burn out, many bomb out, many fade out. You know, the tendency of the flesh, we might know what God wants us to do, but if we're walking in the flesh, we're going to leave those jobs for somebody else to do. Because the tendency of the flesh is to think, you know what, somebody else can do that. I know that God wants me to be in this ministry or I've got this gift of help, but somebody else can help. Or I've got this gift of giving, but somebody else can give. Or I've got this gift of serving, but somebody else can serve. That's the attitude we have when we walk in the flesh. Remember the parable of the talents? The servant that buried his talent was the one who got rebuked. The others that used their talents for the Lord were, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Tendency of the flesh is to just let somebody else do the work. Maybe people justify it by saying, I'm not really that gifted anyway. You know, they can do a much better job. But that's not a good excuse. It's not any excuse. You see, here in 1 Timothy, Paul is addressing not really the issue of spiritual gifts in general. We're not going to look at spiritual gifts tonight and work out what spiritual gift you have. That's not what we'll do. But Paul really is giving Timothy a very basic lesson. And that's good, because I can tell we're all a bit tired. Tonight's lesson is basic. And it's short. Very basic, very short lesson. But Paul teaches Timothy what he needs to know so that he doesn't burn out and he doesn't bomb out and he doesn't fade away. Timothy needed to hear this. Before you tune out just now and start thinking, well, I'm never going to be a pastor, so it doesn't matter. This basic principle is true no matter what your gift is, no matter what your ministry is. This is true. Whether it's serving, giving, helping, teaching, no matter what. Very simple and practical advice. This is it. Your walk with Christ is the necessary basis for your work for Christ. Your walk is the basis for our work. He says at the end of this chapter, verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. And really that's our key verse tonight. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Pay close attention to two things, yourself and your work. And he puts them in that order. Pay close attention. This is in an ongoing command. This is something Timothy needs to keep doing. Keep on paying attention to yourself and keep on paying attention to doctrine. Same idea is seen in Acts 20, verse 28. The scriptures say, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. First your walk, then your work. And your work for the Lord must flow out of your walk with Him. You and I can't minister on behalf of God unless we're walking with God. That's the simple practical teaching that Paul gives Timothy here. In order to preach faithfully, in order to be used of God in this ministry of the word, you need to live a life that lines up. Your life needs to be in submission to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, ministry and service are more about God working in us and through us than they are about us serving God. That's what it's really all about. God working in us and through us. Can you imagine a pastor who wasn't walking with God? Stands up week after week, preaches his heart out, but he's not walking with God. And the power's not there. Now, he could scream until he's blue in the face, but if he's not walking the walk, then the ministry of the word's going to suffer. There's no power because he's not in close relationship with God. And you all know that that will be disastrous, true? True? Well, you need to turn around and look at yourselves as well. Because the same is true with your ministries. Like, it's very public. If a pastor's not walking with the Lord and he preaches, everyone knows about it, all right? It's obvious because he's up the front. But when you're not walking with the Lord and the Lord calls you to your particular ministry, the same is true. It's not effective. It's not used by God and it doesn't bring glory to God the same way, but it's a bit more private than standing up the front and failing. We need to be looking to ourselves, taking heed of our walk with Christ. Our walk with Christ is the necessary basis for our work. We need to grasp it. We need to cling to it and remember it. If we learn to live by that, then we won't burn out. Because pastors and people, particularly in this teaching ministry, burn out because they're not relying on the strength of God. They're not relying on the power of God. They're trying to do things in and of themselves and they just fluster and they get burnt out with all the energy they expend. Now, we live by the principle, walk with Christ, work for Christ, and we won't get burnt out. Walk with Christ and work for Christ and you won't bomb out because when you're walking with Christ, He won't let you fall into gross sin. He'll turn you aside and keep you from the paths of sin. You won't end in moral failure if you're continually walking with Christ. Walk with Christ and you won't just disappear off into the distance. No, He'll keep you growing. He'll give you opportunities and continue to develop and use your gifts for the glory of God. You won't just disappear. You'll be used for His glory. And in the end, you'll hear the words we all want to hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. But if we fail to walk with Christ and try and do all those things in our own strength and keep up appearances, it'll be disastrous. We need to remember the principle, walk, then work. The body of Christ, the church, is short of people who work in ministry in various different ways. Why? Well, why do you think? Because people aren't walking with Christ day by day. If everyone walks with Christ day by day, lives in submission to the living Lord, if people did that, then people would be ministering one to another without even thinking about it. The work of God in their heart would overflow into the lives of those around about them, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit would be seen everywhere. But the reason churches are short of workers is because people aren't walking with their Saviour. They may have fallen into a self-centered way of life. And life for a lot of people is all about them. And sadly, not about Christ. That happens, creeps into the way people think about church. And church is there for me. Preaching's there for me. I get to go along and I hear so I can be taught, or I get to be encouraged, or it makes me a better person, or I make friends there. Church becomes about the individual. And sadly, when people think like that and church stops meeting their needs, then they go to another church, or they stop going to church altogether. Church isn't about self or individuals. The church is about God and worshipping God. Now, some people even try and serve selfishly. Have you come across them before? People who perhaps volunteer to serve others selfishly. And you say, how does that happen? How can you be volunteering selfishly? Well, they do it because they want to meet a need they have. They want to feel appreciated, or they want to feel needed, or they want to feel like they're helpful to others and useful, so they volunteer. But it's not about God and their love for God. It's about feeling needed and wanted by others. And if that's you, sadly, you're not living the Christian life the way God wants you to. And if it's all about duty, you're missing the point too. The Christian life is not about us. It's simply about Christ, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and serving Him. We're no longer our own. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. We're not our own. We're bought with that precious blood of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. It's interesting. Ministry in the church is not about volunteering for a job. We often think it is. It's not about seeing a job that, you know, the pastor makes an announcement and says, I need help with this, or can someone do this, or I need someone to drive a bus. It's not really about that. It's not about volunteering for service. See, God may call us to a task, but He doesn't call us first to a task. You know what He calls us to? Himself. He calls you and me to an intimate relationship with Himself. He doesn't point out and say, I want you to go over there and clean that. I want you to do this. I want you to go and do that. I want all of you to be working and helping each other. No, He calls all of us to Himself. And from there, He sends us out to do work. In order to be used of God and work for God, we must be in that close relationship with God. And that's really the simple truth we're going to see here in these few verses. 2 points tonight. Take heed of your walk and take heed of your work. Firstly, verse 12, take heed of your walk. Verse 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, there are 6 areas of the believer's life that Paul addresses there, and he speaks, they're very quick. And he points them out to young Timothy and says, in order for your ministry to be effective, you need to have your life lined up straight. A lot of young pastors, and I read this, and I'll share the illustration because I found it a blessing. A lot of young pastors I read are like those machine gunners in the World War I bombers. You know those bombers? They fly a straight course. Now, they're on the path, and nothing swerves them from the path because they're too big. They just follow a straight path. But the machine gunner, he's all over the place. Like, he's just, you know, that's out of line. He shoots that down. He's over here. That's out of line. His life necessarily doesn't line up with the path, but he's just going to shoot anything that's wrong. He's just going to blast it out of the sky. A lot of young pastors are like that. And like, forgive me if I am like that, all right? Just picking off issues and just shooting. Or like a flamethrower. Just get everyone. Right? And if I do that, perhaps I'll grow. All right, but I'm told that as you mature, you become more like those fighter pilots, you know, in World War II, or even World War I, with the machine gun mounted on the fuselage, like on the front. They can't turn the gun. All right, in order to line at something, they have to be flying that course. And this is really what Paul's talking to Timothy. He says, if you're going to preach the word, you have to live the word. You can't just pick it off and shoot it wherever it may be. You need to, everything has to line up, because you're young and they're not going to listen to you. He says, don't let them despise your youth. Be an example. Now, Timothy was 35, so I'm even younger than he is. Roughly 35. Don't let them despise your youth. Be an example. Now, I reckon Paul wrote that for the church. So when they read this, they go, oh, well, we better not. We can't really use the example that he's young and he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, we're not to be despising his youth. We can't use that excuse. But really, you wrote it to Timothy. So even though you're young, Timothy, you can't use that as an excuse. You can't say, oh, well, I'm young and my life doesn't quite line up with what I'm preaching. No. Your ministry needs to be backed up by a walk, a godly life. The example you set is of vital importance. That's what Paul's teaching this young man. Sometimes we that are young, and I say we that are young, still, sometimes we think the example we set isn't really that important. You know, when we get older, then we'll set a good example. Did you know that old people copy us anyway? They won't tell us that, right? They won't say, oh, I saw what you did, that was a really, you know, that was an example to follow. They won't tell us that. But they do. We set an example, not just to the younger ones, but to the older ones too. And our example needs to be one of faithfulness. Paul tells Timothy to set the example. Six areas. Six areas. Very quickly, he was to set an example in his word. Now, in word may be referring to that his life lines up with what he preaches. But we can broaden the application and include speech, utterance, what we say. And as we think about ourselves and the ministry God's called us to, does our speech hinder or help our ministry? Is our speech honouring to God? What kind of example do we set with our tongue? Do people know us and see a difference in the way we talk? They should. Is our tongue tamed by the power of the Holy Spirit? I wonder what example we set when it comes to what we say. We know James talks a lot about the tongue, talks about it as a fire, a world of iniquity. Says that no man can tame the tongue, it's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. We know the wickedness of the tongue, but with the same tongue, James tells us, therewith bless we God. Now we may use our tongue in the flesh, and we may rip and tear and attack, but oh, we ought to be using our tongue to bless God. How do you use your tongue? What example do you set? Do you use your tongue to complain, to gossip, to murmur, to ridicule others, to speak and utter profanity, to be harsh with other people, or to be sarcastic? Do you use your tongue in those ways, or do you use your tongue as a blessing to encourage and praise others, to encourage others and to praise God, or to share appreciation? The tongue can be used in a number of ways. But in order for our gifts to be used, and particularly Timothy in this instance, and these gifts to be accepted and used in a wonderful way, our tongue needs to be an example. In conversation, it says there, secondly, our manner of life or our conduct. Is our life an example to others? What example do you set with your hobbies, your habits, things you do? Does it turn people to the Lord? Is it a testament to the power and the love of Christ? It's a good question. What do people see when they look at your life? Honesty, integrity, good stewardship, your priorities, do they all reflect that Christ is Lord of your life, that you're walking with Christ? I trust they do. In charity, in love, what do you love? Who do you love? It's a good question. Does it affect you practically? Who or what do you put first? It's easy to say we love someone, but to love someone like this love, we know the love, the self-sacrificing love, the love that seeks the utmost good of the one who is loved, the one who puts themselves out, the love that puts themselves out for the other. That was the example Timothy was to set. Put others first. Seek their very best. And in the context of the church, what's the best thing for the believers there? That they would glorify God with their lives. Timothy was to love these people and selflessly desire to help others grow in their love and submission to the Saviour. In spirit, another way that we can be an example. And you say, what on earth does that mean? And it took me a day, or not quite, half a day to think about this. It's not talking about spirit, soul and body spirit. It's not talking about Holy Spirit. It's not talking about spirits as in angels and demon spirits. It's actually talking about spirit as in our rational mind. And once I understood that, it all made sense. It gets very easy. If you look at some other cross-references, I'll just give them to you. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And that's not talking about a spirit as in something spiritual. It's simply an attitude of mind. Spirit of fear. but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 1 Peter 3:4 talks about the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. And here, these just two references. There are some others that use this word, pneuma, to talk about the rational mind, the way we think. So when it comes to how we think, how's our example? You might say, well, people don't know what I think. You know, it's just going on behind the scenes and no one knows. Well, you might think that. But God knows, to start off with, because he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. But even our thoughts, we might think they're hidden behind our eyelids or that kind of glazed over look. But they're not, because our thoughts manifest themselves in our actions. And everyone sees it. I wonder, what example do you set with your thoughts and your attitude? In faith, we call ourselves believers, but are we believing believers or faithless believers? We often pray for rain, but we don't all go out and plough the field, so to speak. We might expect God to answer sometimes. Sometimes we pray, but we're not really believing that God's going to answer. What do you think people saw when they looked at Noah? They saw a guy who believed there was a flood coming. That much was very clear. When it comes to us, are we people that believe God and take him at his word? People of faith. People watched George Mueller. They saw a man who believed that and trusted that the Lord would provide. We need to be people just like that. Last one of the six, and I know we've raced through them quickly, impurity. We need to be free from pollution. We need to be undefiled. And Timothy was urged in verse 16 to take heed unto thyself, or pay close attention to yourself. And in these areas, we need to be thinking about ourselves. Now, Timothy couldn't take this list of six things and grit his teeth and purpose in his heart and try really hard to be good in all these areas. It just wouldn't work, would it? He would have no success. No. Just the same as it wouldn't work like that for us. The only way that Timothy could set a godly example in all these six areas is if he let God work through him. And if he walked closely with his God. When we walk with Christ, he uses us to set the example. Walk with Christ is the necessary basis for our work for Christ. Now, I'm not suggesting that in order to use your gifts, you need to be perfect. You know, all these six areas, tick, 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 perfect, everything right. No, that's ridiculous. But I would suggest that you need to be growing in them. I would suggest that you need to be bringing them into submission to Christ. And that if you have trouble in these areas, they're things that you'll be working on and that you're bringing before the throne of grace. Perhaps it's your speech and you know that my example with my tongue is not good. And in order to be used by God more fully, I need to bring this into captivity. I need to bring this into submission to Christ. Perhaps it's another area. Perhaps it's purity, or perhaps it's your manner of life or your faith. Perhaps you're not believing God. No matter, we don't need to have them right, but we need to be working on them and growing in them. Now, it's obvious to everyone whether or not we're growing in the Lord. It kind of seeps out of us. We see it. We see it in your speech, your behaviour, your countenance, everything. First thing we see in verse 16, take heed unto thyself. Take heed unto your walk. Second point, just before we finish up, take heed unto your work for Christ. Timothy's gifts involve teaching and preaching. And as such, the passage between verse 12 really kind of revolves around the ministry of the word. It says in verse 13, till I come, to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. See, Paul is telling Timothy, you need to use your gifts. We know that we can take this as and see it as an example of the importance of the word in church meetings. It's clear. But when it comes to our own personal spiritual gifts, there's some things we can learn in the verses following. You may not be a preacher. You may not. But you have been gifted to serve. We all have a gift. I find it interesting. A lot of people debate about spiritual gifts, but one thing is very clear. There are four passages that people tend to use. And in each of those New Testament passages that talk about spiritual gifts, there's one thing that they all agree on, and that is that every believer gets at least one. Right? So you can't say, I missed out. I didn't get one. We all believers have been given at least one gift. We haven't been left out. God has gifted you to serve him. What does verse 14 say? Neglect not the gift that is in thee. There are a lot of people who do exactly that. They neglect the gift. They don't use it. I don't use it for the edification of the body of Christ. Why? You know, they might give a number of reasons. Perhaps, oh, there's no opportunity, or I'm not confident, or I'm not mature enough, or I'm not old enough, or I'm not tall enough, or I'm not short enough. They give you all kinds of reasons, but the real reason is they're not walking with Christ. That's it. That's the only reason. Now, perhaps, actually, you might not have an opportunity. And if that's you, talk to Pastor, we'll find an opportunity. All right? But the real reason people don't use their gift is because they're not walking with Christ. 2 Timothy 1:6. Just turn over there briefly with me. 2 Timothy 1:6. You can see that Timothy struggled with this a little bit. Don't neglect your gift, Timothy. Over here in 2 Timothy 1:6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Stirring up is talking about, and you'll all love this illustration, or I hope you remember it. When your fire dies out and the embers are just starting to go dark, and you get that stick and you poke around in it and stir up the coals, and then the flames just start licking out of that bed of coals. That's what this is talking about. Stir up the gift. And I love doing that. If anyone comes along and pokes the fire that I'm looking after, I hate it, because that's what I love doing, all right? But we need to be stirring up our gift that those flames might lick up. 1 Timothy 4:15, back in 1 Timothy. It says here, meditate upon these things. Now that's most likely talking about how Timothy received his gift, because he received his gift a different way than we do. It was by laying on of hands, and there's a slightly different scenario there. But it ought to have brought him comfort and reassurance. But I find it interesting, this word meditate is the opposite to neglect. Neglect is not taking care for something, you know, you're not caring for it. Meditate is paying close attention and care. So really, Paul's using a contrast here. He's saying, don't neglect the gift, meditate on the gift and how you got the gift, and think about the gift. Practice it. And your profiting may be seen by all. We need to keep growing in our use. It's interesting, God doesn't give us gifts fully formed. We ought to grow in them. We ought to use them that God may receive all the more glory. You know, God wants us to be growing stronger in our walk with Him. Not growing stagnant or growing weaker, growing stronger. Think about Timothy. Timothy had really arrived. He'd been following Paul around for probably 10 years. And Paul would say, go here and do this. But now Timothy has a ministry. He's got a church. He's really arrived. And Paul says, keep growing. He says, stir up the gift. He says, don't neglect it. Meditate upon it. He says in verse 16, continue in them. Keep going. Persevere. Keep growing. Because the moment you think you've arrived, then you fall away. Now, the temptation when we finally get to a point in our life is to stop growing. We need to continue to push on. I want to ask as we close, do you know what your gift is or gifts are? If you don't, the way we work out what gifts are is a bit different to how Timothy found his gift or was given his gift. But we generally work out what our gifts are because the local body of believers recognize them. The body of believers will say things like, hey, it was a real blessing when you did that. Oh, that was a real encouragement to me when you were there. Or, you know, you really explained that in a way that I could understand. Or you're good at that. Or God seemed to use you in this area. And if you hear those things from the body of believers, that's a pretty good sign. If you're still not sure, ask Pastor. He'll sort it out. But what anyone who's leading a church would love is a bunch of people walking with God and working for Christ. Can you imagine it? Everyone, day by day, every day, walking with Christ and seeking to serve Him. That'd be a blessing. And you know what would happen? Do you reckon we'd run out of ministry opportunities? No. Because God's called us all to a ministry. And He's got a job for us to do. Perhaps you know what your gift is. Perhaps you know the area you're gifted in, but you really haven't been using it. Well, I would encourage you, don't neglect the gift. stir it up, meditate upon it, and remember, walk with Christ, for that is the necessary basis for your work with Christ. Take heed to yourselves, it says. Pay close attention. Make sure you're walking with your Lord and Saviour, and look forward to the ways in which He'll use you for His glory. Now, I know that's a simple message. We'll try and remember it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. Help us to bring every area of our life into submission to Him. Help us to be an example that reflects you, that the world and other believers would see us and have their thoughts turned to you. Pray, Father, that we, like Timothy, would be used of you in a glorious way. Not because we deserve it or we're able, but because you're at work in us. Father, we pray for our church that you would help us to be people and being used of you as we minister to one another in this body. Pray for those going to camp that you would help them to take heed to themselves, that they may work faithfully for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.